Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Yeah, you can sing a little bit later on. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico tonight and every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch. And I just told Margaret Gray that, yes, you can sing some Pat Boone in a moment if you want, Margaret. I don't know when you want to do that.
No, when you get to the story, because Pat Boone's in the news, I should tell everyone, Pat Boone is in the news. Pat Boone is in the news for something very regrettable, but then, you know, it's entertainers.
Well, you know, it is entertainers, but it's an entertainer saying something that you don't like. Usually you support them.
Yeah.
Well, yes and no, and does he get to comment?
Yes, he does.
Yeah. See, I get to comment.
I heard you the first time.
Yeah.
I heard you the first time.
But don't push your luck, okay?
Good point. Don't push your luck. Now I forgot what I was going to say.
All right. Well, in any event, you were going to say that Pat Boone, you were going to mock him being an entertainer giving an opinion because Pat Boone today called President Obama a Marxist, and yet you are very much the defender of celebrities who express political points of view that you agree with.
Yeah, that's the kind of hypocrisy I'm talking about.
Well, if you're talking about it, I haven't heard you. If it was Phil that was saying it.
He agrees with me. He agrees with me. And so while that may be a debating point for you, I think it doesn't stand up in the winds that blow after we realize that.
The winds that blow. Well, all right. Thank you, Sir Thomas More.
Yeah, the winds that blow. You're always saying that I'm not.
You want to shut up, man, okay? Yes, the winds that blow, as in the turmoil that might ensue. In any event, Pat Boone said that Obama was a Marxist. So I, quite frankly, is that original? No. Is it particularly intelligent? Not really. How then does this thought keep getting circulated? I know. Facebook.
Yay! All right, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. Tom Brady should feel burned by the Patriots. They passed on Wes Welker for Danny Amendola, and that is one of the sports headlines we'll get into here tonight. Nicki Minaj arrives late for the American Idol contest, and the contestants reacted as well as the crowd. Nicki Minaj they burned her in effigy. No, they didn't. But
would have been more interesting if they did.
Maybe it would have been more interesting for you, bud.
I don't think so. I think that would have been very, very regrettable. I don't think I ought to joke about that.
Well, I did joke about it, Robert. Okay, I did joke about it because I would have said they would have burned her in effigy had she been white, pink, anything. That's just kind of the sick, confrontational ass that I am tonight. A couple of things that I want to get to here before we get into the rest of what has been. Well, every day is an exciting day for us because I don't care. We pick through the garbage can of news and try to make something out of nothing on this show because most days there isn't really anything happening. I don't give a damn how much content there is on the internet. Most days there's nothing really going on and we're able to find it. God knows how, but we do. But first, this. First, a plug for me.
Yes, this is about your website.
Yes. As a matter of fact, it is.
Yeah, and you're going to be talking an awful lot about that.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I am. Why?
Well, I don't know that you want to turn the whole show into a commercial.
Well, I'm not going to turn the whole show into... Never mind, okay? Let me just do what I'm going to do.
I just think that with all of the things you have to do...
Why don't you let him do what he's going to do?
And I wasn't talking to you. Once again, I wasn't talking to you. Did you see, Bud, there was a movie...
Mark, do you mind if I get to this?
No, hold on. Did you see the movie with Queen Elizabeth?
Oh, boy.
No, hold on. And in this movie, someone opened their mouth about something, and they took him under a bridge, and they cut his tongue out.
What?
In the movie about Queen Elizabeth. You didn't see it?
I saw a movie about Queen. Which one?
With Cate Blanchett.
Which one of the Queen Elizabeths? She did two of them.
The good one.
Which was the good one?
Probably that second one.
Yes, the second one.
Elizabeth the Golden Age with that little pigeon-toed prince of what was that thing?
You mean Spain, that thing? Good Lord.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes, that was the movie. Anyway, Bud, did you see that movie?
No. Not going to see it now. He's talking about a guy get his tongue cut out.
Well, good. Don't see it. Just remember what I said.
God.
What's with the guy?
Going to cut his tongue out or threaten to cut his tongue out because he's got a motor mouth? I mean, that's the way it is. It is radio. He has a microphone in front of him.
Well, I don't mind someone talking. I'd like something to come out of their face that lends something to someone somewhere, something that anyone can use. I don't care. Even the poorest son, even the most decrepit.
She's going to start bawling.
Yes.
All right, bud, so your stupidity has brought her to tears.
Well, I'm going, if Dad's going to do that.
Oh!
She's bawling because you're so dumb.
Man, I'll tell you, it is pretty sad how stupid you are.
Yeah, well, you're so stupid, you make me cry.
I don't see you. Are you crying?
Yeah, there, I'm crying.
All right, Margaret, do you want to go up?
Yes, I will.
She's going to go use the toilet.
Now you got to go use the toilet when you're crying.
Do you mind? Just be quiet. So anyway, PhilHenryShow.com is, there's going to be a lot happening over there. And if you're online right now at PhilHenryShow.com, you are a backstage pass user. You're watching Phil TV in HD. We have a live streaming video cast of our show right now, and we usually do every night. And tonight, for instance, what were we doing? We were showing commercials from the Chevrolet website. We were looking at the new Corvette because Dan and I are thinking that with all of this money we've been making, we have to find something to do with it. And Dan wants to buy a Corvette. And so I went over there and looked, and I said, hey, I might get two myself. He said, all right. So there is that. That's what we do. And then we, you know, basically talk about how wealthy we all are in media, which, of course, we're not. But we talk about it. And also we have, of course, as I mentioned, our pre-show where we talk a lot of crap about people, where we diss the industry, where we diss other individuals, where we essentially bare our souls, and so on and so forth. In fact, it is a reality show that's wrapped around a radio show. That's our Phil TV video cast. That's one reason to have a backstage pass. Another reason to have a in fact, if you didn't have a backstage pass, then you missed such things on Phil TV as the chair collapsing out from underneath me when I was doing a Margaret bit one night, countless temper tantrums, countless times I've thrown pieces of equipment and broken pieces of equipment. Isn't that right, Robert?
Yeah, well, I don't know if you've thrown anything, but you have broken some things.
Yeah, never beat nobody up, though.
I never beat anybody up. I beat myself up. You missed the video cast of our Christmas Carol, which we did one, and then I went into the hospital with double pneumonia, so that's the last time I did that.
You were smoking.
That was the last week I ever smoked a cigarette. So there's a lot going on there on Phil TV. Then you have the archives. Now, these are radio shows, full radio shows that go back at least as far as 1996, 1997. And then we also add to them as we find these gems from the deeper past, like we've, as I mentioned, put in some new WCCO Minneapolis shows. We've got some Miami shows that we're adding. And then, of course, everything we've done in syndication since then, most of which we own, some of which, the stuff that we don't want, we don't own.
You don't watch that, man.
I'm kidding. In any event... The archives are extensive, and it's such a large collection of audio that we are continually updating in terms of the show logs. We're still writing show logs for all of these, and it took when we got into our new website, the new company that we're with, and we've got great partners with our website at LEG, but those guys, you know, they've been doing it websites for a lot of years, and I said, oh, okay, so we're moving over to a new you guys are going to be helping us with the website, hosting the site, you're going to be using. Moving our audio. Yeah, Mr. Henry, don't worry about it, huh? You know, take it easy. Cause these cats are almost like guys that move your furniture, you know. Don't worry. Just relax. Everything's going to be fine. You go ahead. Yeah, just kick back, and we're going to take care of it. Really? When they got a load of how many shows we had in the archive, and suddenly it was a big job.
Yeah, they're almost freaking out and everything.
They didn't freak out, but they suddenly were like, you know, they had the look on their face of a guy who's, you know, been told he has to move a piano, and he shows up and he's got to move a piano down six flights of stairs, you know, so there was a little bit of change, but they got it done. They did it brilliantly. We also, of course, have made it possible for those of you who are on, it sounds like a drug, and it is, on Apple products. Those of you who are...
You're tying one off.
Yeah, whatever. Those of you who use the iPad, the iPhone, etc., that our media is streamable on those devices as well. So yet another reason to get the backstage pass, and so many more. So if you join us at PhilHenryShow.com, 1 month is only $9.95. A whole year is $1,006. No, I'm kidding. A whole year is $79-something, so you get a real break on the year. And then we have a six-month rate, which I don't know what it is, but it's El Cheaperino, too. So you get far more than any other radio website out there. Any other radio show that charges you more is sticking a gun in your ribs. Actually, they're trying to. Because I guarantee you, they ain't got nothing on their website that equals what we have. So they're just trying to steal the money and you know, make it out of town while they can. Head on over to our website and get a Backstage Pass subscription and actually get something for your money. PhilHenryShow.com. All right, coming back, all kinds of stuff. More on the new Pope, a humble image, a complex man, Pat Boone. He's, what did he do now? The FBI had a dog killed, Chelsea Clinton. Lil Wayne's in the hospital. That's a drag. We're big Lil Wayne fans here. I mean, we're big to a point. I don't want to get dragged down with him. I'm joking. In any event, we'll be back here, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, and online at philhenryshow.com. The Phil Hendry Show, back in a moment.
Truth is our bitch.
I'm back now, but I...
The Phil Hendry Show.
Do I get this... Am I singing Pat... Hello, am I singing Pat Boone? Am I singing Pat Boone? Hello.
Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here. The Phil Hendry Show. We were talking about cars. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not necessarily, we're not going to turn this into auto talk, but we were talking about cars.
Well, you were talking about the Corvette, and I want to make a point here, Phil, if I could, because the Corvette, hold on for a minute, who did that?
God, what is that?
That is the most grotesque thing I've ever seen in my life. What is that?
It's a Dr. Oz. We're looking at a website. It's a Dr. Oz commercial. Why? Or a Dr. Oz ad.
Well, there is a fat tub of guts, a female, and I think that that is... You know, it's one thing to show a naked fat man. To show a naked fat woman is sadistic. Absolutely sadistic.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Yeah, she looks... Look at that. It's bad.
Wait a second. They're not. First of all, she's not nude. It's a profile shot. She's fat. There's fat women as well as fat men.
I think it is absolutely disgusting and sadistic. I think there is something pathological about it.
Wait, hold on for a minute. You are saying that to show a naked woman in an ad like this, a health ad for the Dr. Oz show, is pathologically sadistic and degenerate. I'm putting a word in your mouth now.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, you see what happens when you say you put something in my mouth? Do you see what the...
I didn't say anything wrong.
You see what you did, Phil?
I'm sorry. What I mean is...
Just don't reference putting anything in my... Okay. I'm going to the bathroom because I really do have to go number two, and I'm sorry to say that.
Oh, man, come on, man.
Yeah.
No. When I saw him open his mouth and then point inside...
Wait a minute, Margaret.
No.
Did you do that, bud? Did you do that?
I did when she said... Put something in the mouth.
That's almost like she's asking for it.
Hey, Robert, don't butt in. I'm asking you. Did you actually point to your open mouth and go, ah, like that?
Yeah, when she said, don't put nothing in my mouth.
Man, you are asking for it. You're begging for it, man.
I'm not asking for $300 worth.
Yeah, you are asking for the full $300. $300 worth.
Well, you're the one that put that bee in their bonnet.
No, I didn't. It was the clinic. In any event, so what they have now, can we move on? Can we see if we can save part of this show? Would that be all right with you guys? Would that be all right with you guys?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, I go ahead.
Yeah, please do.
Thank you. Thank you. God, thanks. Cadillac Escalade or the Lincoln MET for the hottest ride to your wedding or senior prom, a British firm is looking to make a Lamborghini Aventador stretch limousine. Now, this is a Lamborghini sports car. It's an expensive automobile. How much, I don't know, but they want to tank it and stretch it and turn it into a limo. And why do they want to do that? Obviously, they want to sell the brand and sell the brand in an interesting way, in a more... inventive way. The Lamborghini, it ain't moving, man. And I'm sure it is, but I'm sure they'd like to popularize it a little more. The firm is called Cars for Stars. It's released both some renderings and a CGI video of its stretch Aventador. I can't pronounce it because I've never heard of it. I've never heard of it because I've never... Lamborghini, what do I know from those?
What is it?
It's a car.
Lamborghini?
Yes, it's a car. I worked for a guy once who had a Maserati. I forget his name. Norm Pattis. And anyway,
yeah, you better watch it.
Kidding around, Norm, but you did have a Maserati that he hated.
Oh, he did not.
Yes, he did. Well, no, he didn't. Yes, he did. Am I saying no? He did. He didn't like it.
He didn't like the Maserati. Maserati is royalty among sports cars.
Every time you come in here, you're dominating the conversation.
Look, just everyone be quiet for 5 seconds. Now, here's a link that I got from our good, close, personal friend, Dan Northcraft, who is the engineer of our show. He also does part-time research. He also makes coffee. He is a lumberjack. And here we have now the Lamborghini and the price points for the Lamborghini. Invoice price, $357,000. Off the lot, $397,000. No, I take that back. The all-wheel drive Roadster is $397,000. The all-wheel drive coupe is $357,000. MSRP, $397,000 for the all-wheel drive, and the all-wheel drive Roadster, $441,000. I'm assuming the Roadster is the more of the sporty type. Now, that's for the Lamborghini. Now, the Lamborghini looks like a regular car that just got stepped on.
You know, that's because you can't afford it, Phil, and so you're talking it down. Oh, I wouldn't own it.
You know something, Margaret? No, I would. If I had all the money in the world, I wouldn't buy that.
Why not?
What are you asking me, like I just committed a crime?
Yeah, you're all like, why not?
Why wouldn't you?
Because I don't like the way it looks.
You got a pair on you. So you're saying if you had enough money, you wouldn't buy one of the great classic cars of all time, the Lamborghini. Who do you think you are?
A guy that has a right to buy what he wants to buy.
Phil, do you understand that when you say that if I, Phil Henry, had enough money, I still would lift my leg to a Lamborghini?
I didn't say lift my leg.
Yes, you did. For all intents and purposes, yes, you did. I'm going to ask you again, would you buy a Lamborghini?
No.
Who do you think?
Margaret, why is that such a horrible thing to say?
The Lamborghini.
Does Frank own one?
Frank, my husband has a Rolls Royce, thank you very much.
Yeah, well.
No. Bud, by God, while you still have use of your limbs, please don't say anything. My husband has a Rolls Royce, thank you.
Okay, he's got a Rolls Royce. It's a badass car. I'll give you that.
Badass? Frank's Silver Cloud is $425,000 off the lot. Keys are in it.
All right, so he would not own a Lamborghini.
Frank would look like an ass on skates in a Lamborghini. You know it, I know it, he knows it, he knows it. Your audience knows it, and Frank knows it, and I know it.
What about Jason J. for the Monaco?
Jason J. Delmonico is his name. He knows it. But because he's young, he keeps it to himself. But the rest of us know it and say it. Frank, you'd look like an ass on nitro in a Lamborghini. And Frank knows it.
I want to get him on the phone.
You want to get Frank on the phone so we can humiliate him on the air?
He won't be humiliated.
Well, in any event, the whole reason why we started this conversation is I was talking about the Corvette. I think it looks very nice. And somebody asked me, I think that somebody who asked me was me, but I'm saying it was Dan, so I don't look too egotistical. I asked myself, no, actually, Dan asked me, what do you drive, Phil? To which I replied, a Jaguar, thank you very much. And then Dan said on cue, wow. And I said, yeah, that's true. All right, Frank Gray joining us from Santa Monica, California tonight. Frank, how are you doing?
Hey, Phil, I'm better than Custer.
Great. Listen, I've got Margaret on the line, and we were talking about the Lamborghini.
Okay, what does he want?
Margaret wants, and I have to tell the audience.
Here, I'll distract him. Frank, honey.
Margaret's husband, Frank, has gender confusion, so he refers to men as she and women as he.
So he did. Here he is.
Well, look, is he still there?
Yeah, Margaret's here.
Just tell him that that's my business. That's my business and her business. So when I talk to Harvey Wireman, I'm talking to her in confidence. And even though he's my wife, I don't want Margaret getting involved in any of that. Would you please tell him that? Or can he hear me?
Yes, she can hear you.
Okay. Because Harvey and I are very good friends. She's been a deep, close, personal friend of mine for years. Of course I love my wife. He's the greatest woman I've ever met. But Harvey is my attorney. I'm an attorney. But I can't be my own attorney. I've got to have her as my attorney, and she's one of them. I'll tell you something. The reason why I like Harvey Wireman as my attorney, she was in the Marines. She fought on Saipan. and she came home and married the woman that she loves. That's the kind of guy that she is. So,
all right, hold on for a minute, okay, Frank?
Who are you speaking with?
Tell him to hang. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Frank Gray with us. We're talking about the Lamborghini, the Corvette, sports cars. Do we really... What is this just... Why are we talking about this when we had something else planned?
I don't know.
We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I want to talk to my wife because he pisses me off.
All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Frank Gray, I don't know if Frank is still on the line with us here. Frank, sorry, we had to go to a break. We are talking with Frank Gray here about the Lamborghini. Now, Margaret says that you own a Rolls-Royce. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know where he gets off telling you.
Well, Frank, I don't think it's any. It's not like anyone's going to track your Rolls-Royce over someone else's.
Yeah, but you don't need to tell her that. I mean, she's the host of a talk show, and you're telling her all about my private beeswax. And you're my wife. And Phil, for your part, talking to him about my car, he's my wife. He's the mother of my son. And my son, she's going to be listening to this. And so that's why I...
Well, Frank, if you want us to drop the topic, we will.
Oh, no, you don't have to drop it now, but I... What was the question, Phil?
The question was, Margaret said, and I know you're a man of means, would you own a Lamborghini, the sports coupe Lamborghini, the Roadster? You know the one I'm talking about?
Well, there's quite a few Lamborghinis down through the years.
This is the new one, and very, very sporty. We had it online.
Let me just look. I'm in front of my computer right now. Let me go online here. Now, what did he say?
Who, Margaret?
Yeah.
Margaret said that you would not own that.
Let me look here and see what... Well, he doesn't like the Lamborghini because he dated a guy. Isn't that right, honey? Didn't you date a guy that owned a Lamborghini before you and I met?
Well, Yanni was the Greek that I knew.
Right. Wasn't she the Greek that you dated? Didn't she own a Lamborghini?
Yes, she did. Or, I mean, he did.
You mean he? What was going on between you two, anyway?
No, she meant to say he did.
Oh, okay. I heard him say a he-she, and I'm thinking, are you kidding me or something? My wife, he dated a he-she before he dated me? How do you like that? You know, when my father, I'm going to tell you just a story, Phil. My father, when I was growing up, she used to say to me, my father, who I respected as a man's man, I don't think there was a more manly man than my father, and she always stood there. As she was putting her slacks on in the morning. Oh, I'm getting emotional.
Well, you're talking about Dad.
Yeah, it makes me emotional. I can remember her putting on her slacks and polishing her wingtips. And she'd say to me, Frank, look in the mirror, Frank. And I would. I'd say, yes, Dad. And she'd say, you see her? And I'd say, yes, Dad, I do. Hold on.
I know it's very emotional for you, Frank.
Yes, it is. And my father would say, do you see her? Do you see that boy looking back at you? What do you think she's going to think of you in 10 years if you don't know how to keep your mud together? And I remember I said to her, I said, Dad, I hope she's as proud of me then as I am proud of her. And I pointed to my father in the mirror.
So the two of you were looking at each other in the mirror.
We had our clothes on. What's the point of your question?
No, I'm saying...
Frank, he's simply asking about that moment between you and your father as you were sizing each other up there in the mirror.
Well, I don't like the term sizing each other up. It was a father and son.
Frank, I don't mean any disrespect. I'm saying the two of you were reflecting on each other's lives and the meaning of each other to... The meaning of your father to you and vice versa as you looked at each other in the mirror.
Right, right. But I don't like the idea that I was looking at her. I don't like what she said. Margaret, I don't like what she said. And
are you talking about Phil?
No, I'm talking about Bud. Yes, I'm talking about Phil.
What didn't you like?
Well, I heard you say something about, you know, you're looking at each other in the mirror and you had a, there was a tone like, hey, we're dressing up in girls' clothing or something.
No. I was listening to what you were saying and it was respectful and I was touched by it, Frank. I was. I was touched by the fact that you had such and still have such respect for the memory of your father.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, I know I do. And I didn't mean any disrespect. I know we get into a lot of goofy stuff on this show, but...
Well, see, that's the thing. Margaret comes home from the show, and I ask him what happened, and he's always telling me, boy, you should have heard Phil tonight. She was mentally disturbed. I mean, am I right, honey? Don't you say that about her?
Well, I don't say mental. I do say that Phil was really strange tonight, things like that.
Yeah, so I don't know what goes on, and when she comes to the house, and I'm talking to Margaret right now about you, when she comes to the... I don't mean to talk about you, Phil, as if you're not there, but... Margaret, honey?
Yes.
When she comes to the house, I would rather that she doesn't.
Of course.
Okay.
Well, that's really kind of cruel to say that on the air in front of everyone. Well,
I'm sorry, but it's not that I don't trust you, Phil, but my son, she's very impressionable, and it's not that you're not a good man, but I don't want my son running around with a lot of the crude punchline humor and the goofy images that you've got swirling through your warped mind, because she is a good boy, and I don't want her to...
Okay, thanks a lot. I got to hang up.
Why? Can't you take...
Why did you hang up on my husband?
I hung up on your husband because he's flipping me out, okay?
Yeah, he's flipping everybody out.
No one asked you. Why did you hang up on Frank?
He's flipping me out with the whole she-he.
You heard how he handled the he-she. He was fine.
No, he was not fine. No, he wasn't fine. First of all, he's talking about... Number one, he's asking you about your Greek boyfriend, and you're the one that goes he-she.
Yeah, you did, Ms. Gray. You said a he-she. And then he thought you were dating a transsexual.
Yeah, and it's all I could do to keep from laughing. Of course, and if you laugh, then the guy thinks that there's something seriously wrong, and he wants to come down here and kick my ass or something.
Well, you should not laugh at him.
Well, how can I help it? When you're saying... I dated a he-she. Oh, no, he wasn't a he-she. He was really a guy. And there's Frank getting all upset about he-she, and he's meanwhile calling you a him and me a her. And then the whole thing with Jason J. Delmonico, and I looked at her in the mirror.
No, he was talking about his own father. That's what he was saying.
No, I know that, but in any event, thank you very much, Frank, for being our special guest. And what I gathered from the conversation was he never did answer my question.
You can be assured. What, Phil, just... Slow down, everyone, all right?
I mean, the question...
Hold on, everyone. That's my husband. I know what he likes and what he doesn't like, and I'm telling you right now, Frank would rather self-mutilate with a skill saw than own a Lamborghini, take it to the bank.
God!
Well, I guess I gotta believe that one.
Yeah, you talk guy, man. Talk about a guy who wanna take it off with a skill saw.
Well, how else am I gonna get through to you imbeciles? He would rather do that. He'd rather drive knitting needles into the...
You talking about his testicles?
I was going to, but...
All right. I get it. Frank doesn't like the Lamborghini.
Do you?
No, I don't. I do not. So I think I proved my point. I think Frank agrees with me.
Well, what did I say?
You said that Frank would own that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
I think you did.
And I think I didn't.
All right, then you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
Shut up. Nicki Minaj arrives late for American Idol contestants. There are certain situations where being fashionably late isn't a good idea, and that includes live television and American Idol. But on the Wednesday, March 13th episode of the Fox series, Judge Nicki, and you know that the American Idol is going right through the floor in terms of the ratings, going right through the floor. I'm kidding. No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is, man.
No, it's not. Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier is going to be with us in the next few minutes to talk about American Idol and just how through the floor it's going. I'm sure it's going to be fine. Let's put it this way. That thing has been on for how long?
I think about 8 seasons.
Do we get Doug on the line right now, okay?
Yeah, what if he's probably in on transit or something?
What do you mean on transit? He's in his car, man. Get him on the line. I'm telling you that American Idol has been on the air long enough. The reruns alone, don't you think that'll play in syndication?
Are you out of your mind? Are you high on some mixture of chemicals? How do you rerun something like that? How do you put into syndication a game show?
You ever heard of the Game Show Network?
You know something? Never mind.
Yeah, you know something? Just because I beat you on that particular point. Is this Doug? Hey, Doug, Phil Henry, how you doing, Doug?
Hey, I'm doing good, Phil. What's up?
Listen, American Idol, I wanted to talk to you about this show. Doug Danger's the entertainment writer of the Orange County Courier. This show is on its last legs. Am I right or am I wrong?
American Idol seems to be on its last legs, Phil. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, I have to look at it differently. I can't just look at it straight on like a lot of these writers, and I do have a great deal of respect for a great many of the writers out there, but I'm gay. And as a gay man, gay journalist, I have to say that it may be on its last, but then again, Ryan Seacrest and some of the other producers, they may have something to pull out of their, you know, pull out of their you don't want to keep this thing alive. I think American Idol still has legs. I think Nicki Minaj is a disaster because she is bizarre. I think she looks like something that is not of this world. I think she disturbs people. I think she disturbs the contestants, because when you are singing or you're dancing or you're telling jokes or you're juggling or whatever they do in that show, I don't know.
Well, they don't do juggling. It's a singing thing, right?
You're talking about American Idol.
Yeah.
They don't allow juggling?
No, they don't allow juggling.
No, this is not. Is it America's Got Talent allows that, don't they?
I don't know.
Well, what's the X Factor? And what's The Voice? And what's Britain Got Talent? See what I'm saying? One of those shows allows juggling. And if it doesn't, then it ought to. And I think American Idol, you know, if you want to ask yourself why American Idol has slipped in the ratings and why it continually goes downhill, is they've worked the formula. The formula is this. Get a young person. Do they sing good? Yes, they do. Give them a recording contract. Will they make it big? Yes, they will. They become big hits. They go on to great things. Kelly Clarkson. Kelly Clarkson's got about as big as you're going to get when you play the state fair circuit, and that's what she's been doing. Kelly Clarkson, since the very first time. Oh, God.
Take a breath, man.
Well, I'm trying to get to the point you want me to get to, which is whether or not this show is going to survive. I think American Idol will most likely not survive. But that's only because they will not. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? And I'm telling you now that American Idol is dead, D-O-A. I mean, they're 86, right on the break. And I'll tell you why. Because they haven't incorporated properly juggling and other clown acts. It sounds stupid. It sounds like something you'd be embarrassed by. But unless American Idol can begin to bring into the format something that's going to get people interested beyond the same obnoxious, lousy singing.
Well, Doug, you say obnoxious, lousy singing. They've got some very, very fine young people that come on that show.
Yeah, well, and the people that wind up going to the bitter end and winning the contest or in the final four, the final five, or the final contestants, I don't think they're all that great. I mean, you've heard one, you've heard them all. And I think singers are probably the very first group of people that we can say without fear of any repercussion racially or any repercussion demographically at all. I think they're the first group of people that we can all say very safely, you see, they all look alike. Okay? And I'm saying that because I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Saying all look alike, it sounds racial. And I think it brings up a racial stereotype.
Robert, it's not racial if I'm talking about a white guy and a black guy, but they have one thing in common. They sound the same. They sing the same, and they all look alike in the dark. Okay?
Why do you say in the dark?
Because I can, because it's the first time in the history of this country for probably the last at least 60 years that we can say those things and not be afraid of any repercussion. So I'm saying that singers, today's singers, look alike and all look the same in the dark unless they smile.
Well, now it sounds, you know...
Yeah, now it sounds to me like you're using that as an excuse.
What do you mean an excuse?
Doug, look, you're from the South, right?
Wait a minute.
No, hold on. You're from this. You're saying that singers, in other words, what you're doing, instead of saying black people or whoever, you're saying singers all look alike, and you can't tell them apart in the dark unless they smile.
That's what I said, and I'm saying that about saying, and I'm not saying that racially, Robert. You got to hear me. I'm saying it because it's true.
What do you mean because it's true? I mean, if you're talking about a singer, you're talking about someone that is a sound, you know.
Yes, this is them singing.
Wait, you know, hold on for a minute. I thought you people were on my side.
Doug, we're on your side, but I don't understand the comparison saying that singers are so... You're saying that singers, people on American Idol specifically, are you saying all singers?
I'm saying all singers. I'm saying American popular music has gotten so staid, so formulaic, and so truly so uninspiring that when these people sing to use the to rework the racial insult, when the singer sings today, they look alike. I can't tell them apart in the dark unless they smile and they sit down to a big fat slab of watermelon.
What's that got to do with a singer?
That's what are you talking about, man? Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And for me to do the kind of work that I do...
Go ahead, Margaret.
Doug, you keep saying you're a gay man and a gay journalist. So why did I say this? Today's singers are all the same. They swish and carry a purse.
Yeah, what about that?
No, doesn't have the same effect.
Well, now, wait a minute, man.
Oh, Doug, what does that mean? When I said all look alike, that works. But when you say that the singers swish and carry purses, what?
Yeah, I agree with Doug. It doesn't work.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with Doug Danger. Doug, hold that thought.
Yeah, hold that thought between your knees.
Better go, Miss Perry.
Hold on. I don't know what he's trying to do here, but let's get back to Doug Danger. He's talking about the state of singers today. American Idol's ratings are going through the floor, and Doug says it's because all singers sound alike. They all sound alike, and you can't tell them apart in the dark, and they eat a slab of watermelon for lunch. See, I don't know. It's getting, you know.
It ain't getting, man. It is.
Yeah, it is. It's not getting. It is.
Yeah, it is.
Fine. Thank you. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I'm trying to tell. What are you talking about?
Just got done telling you I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and they all look alike eating corn pone.
Bill 877-877-6-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, and welcome back. We're talking to Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier here about the decline and possible fall of American Idol, a television show that even if you didn't watch it, folks, you should be of aware of the fact that it was an important offering there on that thing called the thing. You know,
what do you mean?
The TV set, man. I was thinking ahead here. Doug, Nicki Minaj, as I mentioned, has angered some contestants as well as people in the studio audience by not showing up. She showed up late. Some jazz. I don't know what it was, and probably no one cares, including her. I know I don't. But I got this story out of the pile of news that we had because it seems to be indicative of some of the bad, I don't know, maybe bad press or just bad vibes around that show.
I don't think there's any question, Phil, that they've got some bad vibes around that show. I mean, the show, as I said, and even Nicki Minaj, boy, she's got a pair on her. And I say that advisedly. I would like to say she's an attractive young lady. I think she is an attractive young lady if she took that outer space. I don't know what she's going for, an outer space thing that I think it's missing. But here's my point. If you listen to Nicki Minaj, and she sounds like every other singer you ever heard. She's a rapper. But... play that song. You got that Starship, bud?
Yeah, I got Starship lined up.
Well, hold on. What is this?
This is Nicki Minaj. Now, don't play it too far in, but I want to hear people as Nicki Minaj. To me, sounds like she's just trying to be a guy here, doing her hip-hop. And, oh, yeah, she's making fun of the white, you know, kind of Italian white girls that go to the beach in New Jersey. And, boy, I tell you, I mean, thank God I'm not a racist.
No, not much. I mean, Doug, excuse me, you were talking there a moment ago about how all of the singers sound the same and look alike in the dark.
I was using that. Boy, she still doesn't get it, does she?
I don't get it. Here is Nicki Minaj. This is called Starships. It's Miss Minaj.
Red wine.
Here it is. Don't watch this.
Let's go to the beach, each, let's go get a wave. They say what they gonna say. Have a drink, click,
that,
down
huh?
The Bud Light.
Look at her making fun of the whites. Boy,
the Patron, the Patron,
wait.
The sound, yes, I'm in the zone. Is it true?
Oh, man, I gotta tell you, like I said, I'm a gay man, a gay journalist, and I'm very liberal and open-minded, but I'll tell you, if I'm a white man on a Saturday night.
What are you talking about now?
I'm sorry?
What are you talking about now?
What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that all these singers say, all right, so a little bit of There was a little tiny bit of prejudice that came out in me. But you know what? I ought to be allowed that, given what I've been through as a gay man, a gay journalist, all right? And when I say that all these singers sound the same, and then comes Nicki Minaj, and not only does she sound like every other white rapper, or excuse me, sound like every other rapper, now she's tearing into the whites that hit the beach on a Saturday afternoon trying to get a little bit of color on them, and she's standing there with that nice glowing dark skin and just pointing at all the white people and going, ha, 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 I hope you get a third-degree burn. Man, that's heartless. And
Wait. I didn't hear any of that in that song.
Yeah, we talked about it. There's nothing in that.
Well, wait. You're saying that Nicki Minaj is telling all the white people at the shore there that they ought to go down and get a sunburn.
It sounds like he's, yeah, let's go to the beach and making fun. Now, I'm just saying.
Well, okay, I didn't hear her say anything about going down and get a sunburn, but I did hear her say that's how they sound, like a bunch of jive-ass, sound like pier monkeys.
Yeah, well, that's it. She's basically calling them a bunch of pier monkeys, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but I am a gay white man and a gay white journalist.
Well, you know what? I don't care. You made your point about the singers. Thanks a lot, Doug.
Well, that is very prejudicial of you, Phil, not allowing him to finish what he wants.
Just let me finish the hour myself. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with more other news. Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. Is there a controversy brewing there with the release or the trading of Wes Welker? We'll find out.
Phil,
or did he sign? Yes, he signed with the Denver Broncos. Okay, bye. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And truth is our bitch on this show, and it is on our website as well, philhendryshow.com. If you're not a backstage pass holder, if you're not a backstage pass gripper, if you're not a backstage pass squeezer, I suggest you get one, Robert.
Yeah, squeeze, man.
Yeah, you gotta get one and squeeze it.
Well, if you're asking me my opinion, I think just holding on to it.
Probably you're right, Margaret, but whatever you do, get a backstage pass and join us online. You can watch our live streaming video of the show every night, as well as listen to thousands of hours of archived radio, great radio shows, absolutely phenomenal radio shows that we have kept for you that you can download. And certainly, well, you can exchange them between friends, like, trading cards or things like that, at philhendryshow.com. The largest archive of any single radio show anywhere, and funny. Yeah, we think so. We take it relatively seriously. We don't claim to be the funniest show ever, but from what we've heard so far, we are. I think
to be modest about it, you can say it's the funniest show with that many hours of audio on.
No.
All right, I'm not going to get into a big discussion. Fact is, just get a backstage pass, $9.95 a month. Hours of audio, as well as our live video cast, as well as the podcast of the show, as well as our news feed, as well as miscellany. We have videos of TV pilots. We've done television interviews, radio interviews, on and on and on and on. A huge press session. By the way, we are getting ready to load in a few more press clippings. Thanks to Amir Forster doing public relations for the Phil Hendry Show. We've got the Bobby Dooley podcast is out there, man. We're going to have to get Bobby on the air again because she's smoking right up the charts there. And she will be interviewing Jay Moore is dropping tomorrow. The interview with Jay Moore, part one, drops tomorrow. You can hear it on SoundCloud. You can hear it on iTunes. You can access it by way of philhendryradio.com. And then part two. And then Kevin Pollak, the great actor-comedian, will be in studio sitting down with Bobby Dooley. The Bobby Dooley podcast, it's a real phenomenon along with everything else. Visit us at philhendryshow.com. Get that backstage pass. All right, Victor Short, or Vincent Short, Mr. Vincent Short's going to join us here in a moment to talk about what concourses are. And we've been talking about the Lamborghini, and we talked about the Corvette, and we talked about, you know, cars that your husband, that Frank might own, or that people of means might own. But we're talking now with Vincent Short from British Concourse Magazine about some rides that really take a lot of money, but they are owned by people that just love automobiles, take great care of the cars that they have, and as the result, the rest of us can enjoy them. Right, Vincent?
Well, that is absolutely correct, Bill. The automobiles that you'll see at Amelia Island, where we were just reporting for Concourse magazine. The beautiful automobiles there, everything from the early Packards or the Duesenberg, the very famous Duesenberg, the 28-cylinder, and you move from that era into the 1940s and the classic Ford and Chevrolet designs, the automobile designs. But there are also an array of different kinds of automobiles from France, the three-wheeler, the Metros, the American sports cars, the Thunderbirds, the Corvette. There are an array of different race stock-bodied race cars from the 50s and 1960s. But the automobiles that I think are the most impressive, when you go to the Amelia Island Concourse, the most impressive of these cars, I think, are the Alfa Romeos, the pre-World War II automobiles. And I'm thinking specifically, Phil, of a car that I fell in love with when we were at the Concourse there. It is called, by the way, Phil, the Amelia Island Concourse d'Aragon. And this is the 18th year, and it is absolutely the event of the year for people who are lovers of the classic automobile, people who love to look at these classic cars and to enjoy the classic cars up close and take in the engineering as well as the design and enjoy a very, very beautiful weekend.
This, I wanted to ask you, Vincent, Concours d'Elegant, which I don't know if you pronounced it correctly.
Well, no, I called it, what it is called is the Concours d'Elegant.
Well, I think it's Concours, but that's all right. We don't have to argue about that.
Well, I spent 10 years as a writer in France. I lived in not only Paris, but in Marseille as well, and on the coast there in Nice, along the Riviera, so I think I know what I'm talking about. I don't want to get into an argument either, but I don't want the impression left that that you, you know, you're stateside bound. I don't know if you've traveled as much as I have.
Well, I'm not going to get into an argument. I'm going to tell you that, in my opinion, it's Concours d'Elegant.
Well, hold on for just a moment. The way that it is pronounced, and what I learned at 6 years of secondary school...
No, Phil, can we just agree to disagree?
What? Oh, no, hold on. What I learned, I'm telling you, 6 years of secondary school, Concours d'Elegance. What you did there was affect a tuition or an erudition that you do not have in the French language.
All right, hold on for just a minute, Vincent.
And I think that...
Hold on, Vincent, hold on. She's gotten up and left.
She got up and left, did she?
Yes.
All right, well, that probably serves our purposes very well, because I did not want to conclude my end of this conversation this evening by hanging up, but I was not going to sit and listen to that rubbish any much longer than I had to.
All right, I apologize.
No.
All right, Margaret, that's fine, but I would ask you, if you're going to stay out of the studio, stay out of the studio. Don't come in here.
Please stay out of the studio.
I'll deal with it, Vincent. Please stay out of the studio, because I don't want to have an argument.
No, if I need to come back in here for a tampon.
What did she say?
Could you get them now, then?
Fine.
What did she say?
It's all right.
I said I needed to get a tampon, okay, short?
My goodness.
Well, you asked for it.
Margaret, don't be a child. Have you got everything you need?
Dad, like she's going overnight camping or something.
Did that woman say, am I right in assuming she said she needed to get a tampon?
Yes, you're right.
Good God.
All right, Victor, I'm sorry.
My name is Vincent, in the name of Jesus. My name is Vincent.
I apologize, sir. I can only tell you that sometimes this radio show is not like most. There's a lot of confusion.
I'm gathering that.
All right. Let's talk about the Alfa Romeo 6. Gorgeous car. Anyone who's familiar with the Alfa Romeo Zagato, right?
Yeah, it is the Zagato Aprilia, a 1931 six-cylinder, the 1750, and it is an absolute remarkable piece of engineering and design, Phil. And as you know, and as anyone that loves a beautiful automobile knows, that when you put those two elements together and you do it in proper proportion, you have the perfect automobile. You need to have, obviously, a well-engineered, a very, very well-engineered foundation, and then the design that is mounted on top of that. And design must, it simply must, take into account functionality as well as comfort. Put it all together, and I think you have that in the Alfa Romeo, the 31.
Did you test drive this?
Oh, I would like to answer yes to that, but unfortunately, as I was beginning to leave, and I was going to test drive, we had a misunderstanding with Hal Benier and Stan Elkington, who's not related to the golfer, Steve Elkington, Stan, and they apparently had a problem with my enthusiasm, and I was escorted from that area, and I found myself, though, Phil, going over to a beautiful place called the Fascination, the 1974 two-door sedan, which was an electric car, a three-wheeler.
Can we go back, though, to the Alfa Romeo?
Well, yes and no. There are some things that I can tell you and some things I've been told by my attorney that I shouldn't mention. So...
I'm sorry to hear that. What can you say?
Well, I can tell you that I've been covering the Concours, different Concours or Concours de l'Ecoton. I've been covering these for a great many years. And
hold on. What, Margaret?
Did you hear the way he did that?
Would you please get out of here?
You sound really stupid.
Was that the aforementioned Ms. Gray?
Yes. She apparently, when she hears French...
Well, wherever you are, Ms. Gray, I may sound stupid, and that's all well and good, but for you to come on the air and pronounce these words, these French words, with a pomposity and a... I don't even know what to say. I'm lacking in the... proper vocabulary to characterize how ridiculous you sounded. But, Phil, to finish my thought.
Go ahead.
I love covering these concourses. I was there, and Stan Elkington came over as I had gotten out of the Alfa Romeo, and there was an issue, and I said, fine, I'll leave the area. Now, to answer your question, when I cover these concourses, I find it very exciting. Very exciting. And to express to you how exciting I find covering the Concours de l'Ecotocon, the JT Pompon Fishing Autole, and the different ones, I am quite a unique reporter. And as a result...
Can you hold on for one more second?
Well, I'm trying to get something out that's very embarrassing.
I understand, but Bud Dickman, what?
I just got off the phone with Bill Whistle and Stan Elkington, and they...
Yeah, they told us.
Okay. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard...
And Bud Dickman is who? Is he with the Concours Le Bouton? Because I didn't see him.
No, he's one of my producers.
I see.
They are telling me that they found out from the concourse what the problem was. Well, what was it?
Well, I mean, they said...
Let me tell you, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Because I don't know who Mr. Dickman is, and I'm sure he is a very trusted advisor of yours, but I would need to say it myself so that you understand.
All right, we need to break. Can you hang on?
I can hang on. Yes, I can, Phil.
All right, with me is Vincent Short, the... he's a writer with British Concourse magazine and just attended the Amelia Island Concourse d'Elegance, which is a collection of gorgeous cars. These are all automobiles that are collected and donated to this sort of exhibition for a weekend of enjoyment by auto enthusiasts and aficionados. So we'll be back and find out a little bit more from Mr. Short as to why he was led from the Alfa Romeo, which he was going to test drive, I understand, and they basically told him to leave the area. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Leaving the
Phil
area
Hendry
too.
Show.
All right, hold on.
Okay, I'll hold on, Phil.
world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
World-famous Bill Hendry Show. I'm trying to get over here to the picture gallery for this Amelia Island Concours d'Elegance photo gallery, and there are some sweet-looking rides here. There's no question about it. With us here is Vincent Short. He's a writer. He's been writing about auto concourses for a long time. And some people may not know what a concourse is, but it's essentially just an exhibition. And my understanding is this year there was an auction, too, Vincent?
Yes, Phil, there was an auction of some of the automobiles present for charity, and I'm looking at some of the slides right now, and perhaps your audience saw the beautiful Duesenberg, which is a sort of a legendary automobile, an incredibly beautiful automobile, well-engineered. And the 16-cylinder, I thought I said 22. I didn't mean to say 22. It's 16-cylinder, 20 and 12-cylinder. But also the fascination, which was the electric car. I don't think that people are aware of the fact that there was quite a bit of engineering that was done toward the electric models in the early days. And so there is a... I think a lot to be learned from the early engineers.
And now I want to, and I don't mean to, you know, I don't want to hit anything too hard if you don't want me to, but you were inside the Alfa Romeo, and I wish I could get the Alfa Romeo. There's a roadster that we have on the screen right now. I can't really, I don't even know if that's it. But the Alfa Romeo that you were talking about was a white Alfa Romeo?
Yeah, this was the... Bugatti Alfa Romeo, 1931 Alfa Romeo six-cylinder. That's not it. That's a, as you said, Bill, it's a roadster of some kind. That may be an Alfa, but a different type. I was very excited when I was told that I would be able to take a bit of a spin in the Alfa Romeo. And I got into this automobile with Stan Elkington, who is one of the individuals helping to sponsor the event. And I was, as I said, excited about this. Elkington apparently had a secondary thought. He noticed something. He got out and asked me to get out. They brought in the cleaning crew, and that's when I was asked to leave the area.
All right. I mean, you're not. There's obviously something you're leaving out here.
Yeah, I'd like to jump in. Now, I'm not going to cause an argument.
So you're back now, are you? And you're going to what does this woman want?
Hold on.
Because I'm not going to sit still for any insults.
Hold on. Why are you here?
I feel it is my duty as a journalist to be here at this moment. I will not cause a fight, Vincent. But I think when I hear you say that you were aroused and they brought a cleaning crew in, I've got to ask some questions.
No, I think you came back because of the prurient nature of what I'm saying.
I can assure you, sir, that it has nothing to do with the prurience of it. I don't find it prurient at all.
Well, I can assure you that the few minutes that I had talking with you, Ms. Gray, were so off-putting and so insulting.
And I can assure you I feel the same way.
Well, then wait a minute, Margaret. Then why are you back here?
Well, why is he here?
He's my guest.
I was asked to come on the program.
Hold on. He's my guest. So unless you're going to talk with respect and not get into an argument about how things are pronounced...
Yes, because as I said, I spent 6 years in preparatory school in France.
All right, hold on. So you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand.
I didn't hear you. What?
I understand.
So to continue with my story, Elkington and I got into the Alfa Romeo. It was at that moment that Elkington made a gesture with his arm. It was almost a spasm of the shoulders and the arms as he was avoiding looking at me, but he got out of the car. The best way that I can describe it is he went from being very loose and being very friendly to almost robotic in that he put his left hand to the side of the left side of his face as if to shield his eyes from me and then turned swiveling at the waist and got out of the car. Now, this was all done in one deft maneuver. And it was then that he came around the side of the car, still shielding his eyes from me, holding his hand to the right side of his face, grabbing my arm and pulling me from the car.
No, wait, wait. He was avoiding looking at you as he got out of the car.
Yes.
And came around and pulled you out of the car, still with his hand up to the side of his face.
This is in order to shield his vision.
Yes, that is correct, to shield his vision. And I shrugged because these people that you deal with, Phil, these are automobiles after all. I love them, and I think they're a very fine, fine hobby to have. But the sun doesn't rise and set on this garbage as far as I'm concerned. And I'm saying that because as much as I enjoy writing about the classic cars and the concourse, the sun doesn't rise and set on these rolling garbage cans.
Well, how can you talk on the one hand about how beautiful these cars are?
Yes, and then say they're rolling garbage cans.
I can say that because they're beautiful, but at the end of the day, they make no difference in my life or in your life, in the quality of life, whether people will not die in war, whether children will not die from disease or starvation, whether the elderly will be eating cat food as opposed to tuna fish. Nothing in this world will be changed if you took all of the classic cars from every concourse that ever was and drove them, didn't push them, but drove them into the ocean, thus losing the car and the driver to drowning and rust. That's how I feel about it.
Good Lord.
That is an extremely sharp point of view.
Is it now? That's how I feel. And when I'm told to get out of a car because I was aroused, and then they bring a cleaning crew in before I've cleared the area to make sure I see the cleaning crew, because it was punitive. There's no question at all.
Hold on. I don't know what happened here. You talk to him, Robert.
No, talk about a concourse. That's all it's going to be about, too.
I'm not asking you, bud. You talk to him. It's about the concourse, right?
Yeah. He didn't say nothing about being escorted in the area. He said that he got aroused. And I said, well, I like football.
Don't you know what he means when he says aroused, you idiot?
I'm not an idiot or anything like that.
Hold on. We'll be right back. Here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and I'm just along here with Vincent Short. The writer, Vincent Short, is a writer for British Concourse Magazine. We're looking for, bear with me here, Vincent and Margaret, we're looking for the concourse show that you were at. Here's one from Pebble Beach that has quite a few beautiful cars.
I was not at the Pebble Beach show. I was at Amelia Island. The Amelia Island show was the one that I was at. And for you to understand, and I think for Ms. Gray and all the others to understand what it was that I endured, you have to get to the Amelia Island concourse photographs. And there you will see what it is that we're talking about.
Okay, I found it here, and let me show my audience. This is the car that you were driving.
Oh, that is absolutely gorgeous.
Yes, thank you. That it is. There is the 1931 Alfa Romeo 6C 1750 Zagato Aprile. Now, this automobile...
I'm sorry, Vincent, but isn't that Aprile?
I'm not going to abide this, Mr. Hendry.
Margaret, will we just defer to Mr. Short on the pronunciation?
Fine. It's no big deal. I don't care. I'm the way you are when it comes to these car shows. I like them. And I like language, but there are starving children.
Yeah, thank you. I agree. And that's why I say to you, Mr. Hendry, I love going to the concourse, and I love going to the different concourse shows. This is a beautiful car. And if you could scroll through just to give people an idea of what we saw, there is a 1909 Thomas Flyer. It's almost the kind of car you'd see at Disneyland. And here is where I drew the line with the people who organized the event when I said it looks like one of those cars from Main Street at Disneyland that you get in.
Like the fire trucks.
Say that again, please?
Like the fire trucks on Main Street at Disneyland?
Yes, I said that to them. And again, I was given that look. And I said, don't tell me that that's what that is. And Bill Churton, who is a man I ordinarily have a great rapport with, said... why are you trying to cause trouble? And I said, Bill, I'm not trying to cause anything. And I said, are you trying to tell me that that's exactly what, did you pull that off of a kiddie ride at Disneyland? And he kept walking away. So I didn't address it in my column. I ignored it. But there you have, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm pretty sure, if you're seeing it there on the videocast, I'm pretty sure is a kiddie car from Disneyland, not a classic car that they wanted you to think it was, and it isn't. And here it is, the 1974 Fascination.
All right, now here is the three-wheeler, right?
The car as well, but I was looking at the young lady, the model, because, and here's why.
Are you saying that when you said here it is, you're thinking of the woman?
I think I made that clear.
All right, but we're talking about a car show.
Yes, we're talking about a car show, but I'm wanting you to look at this young lady. She's wearing a pair of silver tights and gold boots, and the tights were sprayed on. There's no getting around that. There's no getting around the fact they were sprayed on. You can look at the hair and the lips, and I got to look at her. And I didn't care whether there were cars or flying saucers there from that point forward. Her name is Amanda Turin. She lives in Chicago. And I spent a marvelous evening with her and a night, yes, following the show.
Are you sure that that's information she would like shared?
At this particular point, I don't care. Because my reputation has been ruined by this. The organizers of this event, when they brought the cleaning crew in to work on the bucket seat that I'd been sitting in.
All right, I think we need to know what happened.
I'm not going to be pushed into it.
I want to know. I agree with Ms. Gray.
Well, I told you that when I got into the Alfa Romeo, and I think you had the picture up there, at least give me the common decency and courtesy to show people why it was that I was excited, and so when you do, people will at least have some understanding as to why I reacted the way I did. There it is, the 1931 Alfa Romeo.
Right, and you got into that car, and sitting next to you was Stan Elkington.
Yes, and when he was very affable and very friendly and said, now, Vincent, why don't you go ahead and then he stopped. There was a spasm of the shoulders up, the head jutted out and then back. He put one hand to the side of his head, shook his head as if, I don't want to see, or whatever.
What was going on? You keep describing his reaction. What was going on?
I told you. I was aroused.
Good God.
Well, when you asked me...
Oh, all right, hold on. So he got out of the car, you got out of the car.
He got out of the car. No, he got out of the car and then pulled me out of the car. Before I was able to do anything myself, I was very happy to have done a lot of the cleaning myself.
God!
What was that?
That's a member of my staff. So he pulls you out of the car and they brought a cleaning crew in.
Yes, and they did it in the most demonstrative way. We need a cleaning crew. We need a cleaning crew at the Alfa Romeo. And meanwhile, I'm being hustled off, being held on either arm by very big security personnel. Blue shirts, hats, nightsticks. And I'm in the middle of them. And a cleaning crew is rushing to the bucket seat. So put two and two together and what have you got? Five? No. Seven. Wrong again. The number four.
Well, what is that supposed to tell us, Vincent?
I'm not talking to you at all, Ms. Gray. From your initial crack about how I sound as if I've got a mouthful of...
She didn't... Let's get off of that because we're not on that any longer. But what we're talking about is you had... We've gone from talking about a car show to you having some kind of a physical reaction to sitting in the Alfa Romeo requiring a cleaning crew.
That is exactly what we're talking about, yes.
Were you prepared to come on the show tonight and talk about this?
I had no choice. Once you singled out the Alfa Romeo, it happened to be one of my favorite cars at the show, and I had no choice.
If I had avoided talking about the Alfa Romeo...
It probably would not have come up.
Nice going, Phil.
What do you mean, nice going, Phil?
Well, I think that the point is well made. If you had kept your mouth shut about the Alfa Romeo...
You know something? I'm going to say this, Vincent. That is not Phil's job to read your mind and to know what it is we're supposed to stay away from. You could have said something to our producers before we went on the air.
Well, I didn't say anything to the producers because I didn't think anyone would have the temerity and the bad taste to ask me about getting aroused sitting in a sports car.
I didn't ask you about that.
Hell,
well, I can... Now who's the child?
What?
Now who is acting like the child?
I came on the program.
Yeah, get it. You drink a water or something.
What did he say?
You do need a drink of water, okay?
All right. Well, I need a drink of water, but that woman came on the program.
Okay, I understand that this has been difficult for you.
Yes, very.
And I understand that I brought up something that I shouldn't have brought up. I'm going to put him on hold. Did he hang up?
If I were him, I not only would I hang up, but I would... Not only would I hang up, but I would step out of an open window. There, I said it.
We have far too much talk on this show about suicide and stepping out of open windows. We almost have as much talk about that as we have of going to the bathroom, which is where Ms. Gray just went. Now, Bud Dickman is on the phone with my guest, advising him as to wet his whistle. Where is he, Bud?
Right now, he's in a hotel room.
He's in a hotel room with, well, what?
I just told him to order on a room service. You can get ginger ale and everything. And he said, yeah, I know. And I said, well... And he said, well, I don't drink it. And I said, what about water? He goes, okay.
Yeah.
What?
Well, okay, fine. So he's ordering water from room service.
No, he's pouring it out of the tap.
Okay, so he doesn't want to get room service.
He did, but he didn't want to get ginger ale.
Why doesn't he order water?
He's getting it out of the tap.
Yeah, he's got it in the tap.
Okay, so he doesn't need room service.
Yeah, he does.
Well, what's he getting from room service?
A steak. Like, God, you're asking stupid questions.
No, you're right. It was. It was a stupid question. I'm sorry. So we're hoping that he does wet his whistle. This is the world. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, for the taste. I had no idea that the situation was as it was. Let's take a phone call. 877-876-PHIL on the line here from Alhambra. Go ahead, Lloyd. You're on the Phil Henry Show. I apologize. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Henry, the gentleman that you had on your program just a moment ago was talking about the Alfa Romeo, the 1750 Zagatti Brio, and I had that car right out of the Navy in 1953. And I can tell him that that six-banger, that the six-cylinder that they had in that, he may think it's a beautifully engineered car, but that couldn't make... I don't think it would qualify as a soapbox derby car, and I mean that sincerely. It had no guts at all. No guts at all.
You're talking... This Alfa Romeo, huh?
That's exactly what I mean. I had the Alfa, and when I got out of the Navy, I bought it from a buddy of mine. And he had it in a junkyard. They were going to use it for parts. I said, well, let me see what I could do. And the first time I brought it out here to California, and I headed down to Bunker Hill, downtown Los Angeles, and tried to get it up the hill, to, right up there on Hill Street, and no guts. And I said to my wife, it's ironic that I come out of the hell of Korea only to come home to a gutless automobile. And she said, ain't that a son of a bitch? And I said, you better believe it, sweetie. And that's the last I saw of that. And I wanted to ask the man if he's there.
Hold on for a minute. Where is our guest?
Yeah, Mr. Short? Get on the radio.
Yes, Phil, right here.
Oh, Mr. Short, we have a gentleman on the line who wants to ask you a question.
Yes, sir. Mr. Short, my name is Lloyd Bonafide from Alhambra, California. Yes, sir. The Alfa Romeo that you were sitting in, did that have a red teak wood in the dash? Well, yes, it did. Some of those cars did. The 31 did. Did it have red sort of trim on the bucket seat? Yes, it did, as a matter of fact. Okay, I owned that car at one time. You did? Yes, I did, sir. Now, they might have reworked the engine, But the car that I own was a gutless. It was gutless. Well, I don't know. I didn't have the opportunity to drive it because I got aroused when I got in it.
Yes, I understand. I understand completely.
Have you had that reaction?
Yes, sir, I have. I had that reaction when I first went out with my wife when I bought the car.
Now, you bought this car from who?
I bought it from a Navy buddy of mine that had it in a backyard of his in the Mojave Desert for scrap metal, and I said, and I took it and I drove it, and it had no guts.
Well, I don't know. The lines on the automobile are beautiful, and I really do love it, but it was it obviously caused me quite.
It broke your heart, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
It broke my heart, too, and I'm just simply saying to Mr. Henry, go easy. I don't know, Mr. Henry, if you've ever, and this is going to be a tough one, and Mr. Short understands, if you've ever had an intimate moment, well...
With a car?
With a car?
Yes, with a car.
No, he doesn't understand. I think Mr. Henry understands better, though, than Ms. Gray.
Well...
No, I haven't.
Well, before you say anything, smartass, let me tell you that automobile has been loved physically by two men.
Oh, I'm glad you did that.
Yeah, I'm not going to deal with that anymore. All right, so two guys had sex with the Alfa Romeo. One of them is a writer for a British sports car magazine, the other some Korean War veteran. We'll be right back. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Yeah.
The Phil Hendry Show.
I don't think so. That's what he said.
Y'all depressed about it.
Yes, it's depressing.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back. Here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. What I was doing was just during the break showing to our audience the pictures from the Amelia Island concourse, and we still have some of them up. And what we're looking at here just, and I can describe these to you guys listening on the air, these are classic cars. And Dan was just telling me about classic. What'd you call it? Distressed or classic shabby? Classic shabby. Shabby chic, where you come out with the car as it originally rolled off the assembly line. And if during the interim it has achieved a level of distress, you know, peeling paint and maybe a few dents, well, that's just the way it looks. And that's what you bring it out to the concourse as. And there's a 1962 El Tiburon Roadster. I've never heard of the car. That they have a picture of, and this thing has rust spots. It looks like the whole left fender has just been exposed. That looks like primer paint there. A few dings, and the looks like it needs a new top. It's just all banged up and all jacked up, and it's beautiful, right, bud?
Yeah, I don't know. That's bitching us to own that.
And so on and on it goes, and some of these cars, just amazing. What is it about our love affair? How would we have ever have known when the automobile was first created, when the first, and there's no way of tracking who created the first car. It was one of those inventions that was spontaneous. And if you want to talk about human invention, you can look no further back than the automobile as to how humans came about creating things. There have only been very rare instances in the history of the human race where one area created something and the whole world copied it. And that was early on in the development of writing, where, as I've said to you before, writing originated, wholly originated, in only two spots on the face of the earth, Mesoamerica, which is today Mexico, and the Middle East. And both of those places gave rise to the blueprinting of their blueprinting or copying or something like that. The automobile seems to be an invention that came to us spontaneously. In different parts of the world, there were internal combustion engines being worked on and were being used in different ways, but ultimately to the same end, to transport human beings as a means of transporting people. And so we had the motorized bike and the motorized carriages. I don't know that you can actually look in any one place, say, here's where the development of the automobile began. But who would ever have thought that from the development of this device to take us someplace faster than a horse and buggy could carry us, that not only would it just be a means of transportation, and we would make it more efficient, obviously, faster, safer, but that it came to represent so much about us, that it became a work of art. And I don't know, are buggies like that, Margaret? Do you know?
Well, why are you asking me, for God's sake?
Yeah, you're probably old enough to remember them. Ow!
Go ahead, Ben. You know, you want to get between a dog and his meat.
All right, well, everything got to turn into a fight.
Well, Phil, you're asking... Oh, Margaret, from your experience, what did the horse and buggies look like?
I wasn't saying that. I was just asking you your opinion.
My opinion of what?
You're still feeling hurt because this guy was telling you how to pronounce French words?
Yes.
Yeah, get over it.
I got something for you to get over. Why don't you get over this?
A lady doesn't do that.
No one can see it.
Man, Miss Gray, that's dirty.
Yeah.
You're lifting your skirt up.
You lousy...
Hey, hey! Well, bud, now everybody knows, huh?
Yeah.
I said no one could see it until you opened your big fat...
In any event, I would imagine that buggies, I don't know. I mean, the poor people, the rich people would, you know, traipse around in their freaking buggies and think they were all that. I guess clothing represented a lot of the ego trips of people. But cars, man, when we got the automobile, that became a whole, that was a whole new world of, you know, of man expressing who and what he is. So anyway, we're looking at some of these pictures. This is a Rolls-Royce from 1936, the Phantom III Sedanka DeVille. Doesn't look like much now, but...
Well, it doesn't look like much, but you'd probably climb all over that.
Yeah, I would, as a matter of fact. Here is, the next car is the 1909 Pierce Arrow. We saw that. There's a 75 Ferrari. We saw that. Here is a Stingray Concept. And now that looks like a road racer there.
What's that? There's no top to it.
Yes, it's a race car. That's what the race car people use.
The race car people?
In any event, so that's a Stingray. So there you have, if you ever get a few million, a lot of guys that collect cars, you know, they're the rich guys, but actually these automobiles, in and of themselves, they aren't that much money because they're, I don't know, are they the original? We'll find out. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, back next hour with more. Probably get off the subject of cars, given the fact that Mr. What's-His-Name had that accident in the front seat and they had to get a cleaning crew. Anyway, we'll talk to you.
How filthy. You disgust me.
Phil Henry.
Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and truth is our bitch. We are having a slight technical difficulty with our video cast stream. We'll have it back at you here in just a couple of minutes, guys. We're just going to reboot. Nothing to worry about. Anyway, welcome back to the program here. And again, backstage pass holders with our video cast, sit tight. Maybe check out some of the archives that we have to offer for you here tonight. The Bobby Dooley podcast is up tomorrow with Jay Moore, another just psycho entry from Bobby Dooley. And I'll tell you, it was not just Bobby, but it was Jay as well. And just some of the stuff that that guy was involved in, and some of the stuff he was saying to Bobby, you just got to hear it to believe it. That's starting tomorrow. That drops tomorrow on iTunes, on SoundCloud, and... just about everywhere else where you enjoy all of your podcasts, okay? That's the Bobby Dooley podcast. Definitely one for the books. And then we will have Kevin Pollak. And also, if you've missed any of the previous ones, Patty Arquette, Joel McHale, Sugar Ray Leonard, they're all there. You can check them all out at philhenryradio.com, as well as going into the archives there at iTunes or at SoundCloud or wherever you access your podcasts, okay? PhilHendryShow.com, and there's also a banner for it right there. Okay, so we scared that guy off.
Well, I didn't mean to, but I mean, you're talking about a man.
No, that's fine. You know, why talk about cars? Most of us can't afford. Yeah, I can't afford half of these things that I see. Anyway, they are they're beautiful cars, though, I'll tell you that much. And again, it's like we were saying, the automobile is an example of where everybody sort of had the same idea at the same time. And flying. I mean, those are two major inventions at the beginning of the 20th century. Both of them developing almost on a common path, not on a common path, but on parallel paths. One was the art of flight, and the other was the internal combustion engine for ground transportation. I mean, they both were almost contemporaneous, you know?
What's that mean?
It means at the same time. So what's your point? I mean, we can only get so heavy.
Yeah.
What do you mean we can only get so heavy?
Well, you're trying to get all intellectual here, and I think it's...
Yeah, don't get too intellectual about it.
I'm not getting intellectual, brain surgeon. You know what? I'm not even talking to you guys, okay? I'm way above you guys. I'm talking to my audience. My audience and I, we're sharing a commonality here now. We're talking about this, all right?
So in other words, we're too stupid to understand what you're saying.
Apparently, yes. You're getting all bored with it.
Well, I don't understand it, Phil, when you're going all... And anyway, the car and the plane, it was, I don't know.
Yeah, it's too creepy and stuff.
Can you make it a lot easier?
No, I can't make it easier. If you don't understand that the automobile and the airplane developed around, do you understand that the automobile and the airplane developed around the same time?
Do you understand?
No, I don't, Phil. I don't know when they were invented.
Well, the car was invented when?
The car, this is what I'm trying to say. There is no specific date when the car was invented. All over the world, there were guys in barns with internal combustion engines.
What?
There were guys that were playing around with internal combustion engines, that were working with these internal combustion engines. Engines, in other words, that were sustained by a fuel and nothing more. You didn't have to have a horse. You didn't have to necessarily have a fire burning to get steam going. This was fuel that would then create carburation, the sparking of the spark plugs that would then create the firing of the pistons that would then create.
See, this is where no one understands what you're saying. No one understands what you're saying. When was the car invented?
There's no date when the car was invented.
Yeah. Well, when was the airplane?
They don't got no date on that either.
They don't have a date.
What? Everybody knows that there's a date on everything that what gets invented.
Now, for once, I agree with it. I think what it's saying is smart. Everyone knows that when a thing gets invented, there's always a date when it got invented.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes, so you think I'm pretty stupid, don't you?
Right there, when you said what you just said, everyone knows that a car is going to get invented. You sounded like Bobby.
How dare you?
Well, you did. And I'm sorry, but there is no invention date for the car or for the airplane. They were all kind of being toyed with and played with, kind of like Mr. Vincent Short there sitting in the Alfa Romeo toying with it and playing with it.
That is so vulgar.
And yet true. And the fact remains that at some point, all of a sudden, we had a whole bunch of guys driving around, you know?
Well, maybe that's the way people come about, too.
That's a very good point. The human race, when we talk about evolution.
In what way?
All of a sudden, it's just like, hey, look at that. There's a guy, he's walking funny. He's got a bigger head than me.
What about that?
What about what?
We're talking about human beings, Phil. Don't you think that that could have happened, too? Instead of, yes, I'm about to question a theory, the out-of-Africa theory.
Wait a minute now. Now you're questioning out-of-Africa.
Well, why not? Why couldn't you say all of a sudden we spontaneously combusted?
It's not called spontaneous combustion, you rube. It's called evolution. Spontaneous, I don't know.
All right, what you're proposing is something that had been proposed for many, many years and was discarded. The idea that the human being evolved all over the world. In other words, we evolved almost at the same time in different spots all over the globe.
Yes.
That has been discarded by anthropologists and archaeologists as not, they don't believe that that's the science. They believe that the facts are, and the science shows, that the hominid that eventually became a Homo sapien, and don't start asking me what a hominid is, bud, because I'm going to belt you.
Yeah, well, you didn't say.
I told you yesterday that the human being, the Homo sapien, came exclusively from Eastern Africa.
So there wasn't any other human-type ape walking around out there? You got to be putting me on.
Yeah, I don't buy it neither.
Yeah, you don't buy it, bud, because you're just, you know...
You're a racist, man. That's why. You don't want to think you come from Africa.
Do I look like I come from Africa?
Yeah.
What?
Bud, it don't matter if you look like it, okay?
Oh, it don't matter. Boy, this is getting better by the minute.
Hey, you're the one that said he don't have to whatever you said.
Yeah, you can't remember because I didn't say it.
Yes, you did. Would you just allow me to say something here?
He said I look like I come out of Africa.
You do. You're a human being, so you look like you came out of Africa.
That don't make no sense.
Yeah, it does. Every human being come out of Africa.
Let me do it. You look like you come out of Africa because you're a human being, and human beings come out of Africa.
That's what I said.
Right. Okay?
Yeah, but he's blacker.
I don't care if he's blacker. If you look at your face in the mirror, bud, all you're seeing is a black guy that's been away from Africa for a few million years. That's what happens.
Yeah. Man, your nose sure got small, man.
What are you trying to say?
I'm saying if you look in the mirror, and you're a white guy like you are and like I am, look in the mirror, you're looking at the face of a what happens to a black man's face when he leaves Africa for a few million years.
Wow.
Man, I tell you what, I'm sure glad my ancestors stayed in Africa and didn't get ugly like yours.
Get out of here, man!
All right, easy. So, the idea that the human race developed in different pockets in different places all over the globe had been, that had been the theory. But that's not the theory any longer, and we've come to that conclusion for a variety of reasons, the archaeological evidence as well as the mitochondrial DNA evidence, which, by the way, I read up on Richard III and found out how they identified that it was Richard III, and that then they still don't know where they want to bury the guy.
What are you, Phil, you're going from monkeys to Richard III, and I think that's insulting.
To the monkey.
Easy.
It's not insulting to the monkey. It's insulting. I'm not trying to insult the monkey. Well, you can't insult an animal, so what am I saying?
Yeah, you're probably thinking of, well, I better not say.
You better not say or I'll kick your ass.
Man, you're a racist, man. I don't even know how you even pretend like you're not a racist. How do you have a black girlfriend and everything?
Because I'm not racist. Not in that way.
Not in that way?
Yeah.
I don't even want to know what way that is. So the fact is that you have this theory that was discarded, and now we know. What is this about Richard III? What was I saying?
I don't know. You're the one that brought it up.
Well, anyway, Richard III... Oh, this is blowing me away. You guys are so stupid, I can't get into this stuff. All right, we're going to have on the line here Dr. Ron Tarner, and Dr. Tarner is going to help us with Richard III. He's going to help us with the idea of mitochondrial DNA. He's going to help us with... It's one of our favorite topics here on the Phil Hendry Show, and that is the evolution of the species, and oh yeah, the Alfa Romeo that Vincent Short had an accident in. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we are back and live on Phil TV and HD. I apologize for that brief hiccup, folks. So if you have your iPhone, your iPad, or you're at home enjoying the show on Phil TV, we are back and we are live and we are rock and roll. Now, to continue here, Dr. Ron Tarner is going to join us here on the Phil Hendry Show. We're going to talk a little bit here about the it was a rather heady conversation. I mean, I'm not trying to say that, you know, I'm the intellectual that Margaret makes me out to be.
Well, I'm not saying you're an intellectual, Phil. I'm saying that you're talking in the big way that you talk. I went to the University of Pennsylvania, so I'm not lost. These things, I know what you're talking about.
Well, you say you are, but...
Okay, bud, just let her say what she wants to say.
Thank you. But I think Dr. Tarner is there. Let's just talk with him and...
Dr. Tarner, how are you?
Well, I'm doing very well, Phil. Thank you for having me on your program.
Dr. Tarner, we're talking tonight here about a lot of things. We were looking at the concourse at Amelia Island, those beautiful cars. Do you ever go to those things?
Well, I can't say that I do. I certainly do enjoy the look of a beautiful automobile, though.
Well, so we're talking about cars, and it occurred to me that automobiles are a great example, maybe, of an invention that the human race came upon. It was not something invented in one part of the world and then was blueprinted, you know?
That is correct, yes.
Instead, it was sort of spontaneously in different parts of the globe developed in much the same way as, what would you say?
Well, I think that the farming, the actual development of the domestication of crop packages occurred over a wide swath of the earth above the human race. So I think you could compare it to the development of agriculture. I think that you can also compare it to the domestication of horses, for instance, which took place, the evidence shows, over a wide area of the earth as well. And then, of course, Phil, you brought up the example of writing, which is not the case. Writing was localized to Central America as well as the Middle East. That was blueprinted, as you just indicated, to other parts of the world. So there are examples of it, but at the same time, there are examples of.
There's examples of how there's a spontaneousness about things, and there are examples about how there are things that are blueprinted.
Yes, exactly, and so I think the human animal is a very interesting animal.
All right. Now, the other question we had was that, you know, the human himself, human beings ourselves, being human.
Yes.
Well.
You don't remember what you said.
Yeah, I remember what I said.
Well, let me help you out because I was listening to you. You want to know why we think human beings... evolved in Eastern Africa and then were out of Africa. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't agree with that, Dr. Tarner.
What's that?
This is Bud. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with out of the Africa.
Oh, you don't agree with it. Okay. Well, Bud doesn't agree with it, and you do, Phil, right?
Yes, I do.
And Margaret, what do you think?
Well, I don't. I agree with it. Yes. Out of Africa, yes.
All right. And I do, too. So that's 3-1 is better than none. So you lose, Bud.
That's no way to do it.
No, it's not any way to do it, but I don't know that I'm prepared to engage in a conversation with you, Bud, because I know what you do. You'll just ask as many stupid questions as you can until I am either ready to have a heart attack or I want to hurt you. And I'm not kidding either.
No, I know you're not kidding because you've been engaged in these kinds of debates with him before.
Well, they're not even debates.
Dr. Tarner, I have every right, and I'm sure a lot of people would agree, okay?
I'm not finished.
Well, hold on. I'm not finished neither. I have every right, and I'm sure a lot of people would agree, to say that when you say that human beings are out of Africa, and I don't agree with it.
Oh, well, hold on, Bud, because I want to just give you the proper accolade. Yay. Wow. Wow. Wow.
Oh, okay. Are you being sarcastic and everything?
A little bit, yeah. Think so.
Well, what's the point of the sarcasm, Doctor?
Are you putting me on? What do you mean? What's the point? This guy didn't say anything. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts that you've got a few thousand people listening to your show right now who probably think Bud made a whole bunch of sense.
Well, I don't think, Bud, that you made any sense. Dr. Tarner, in his own way, you're saying you don't agree, but you don't really know why you don't agree.
I just don't think that every human came out of Africa.
You don't say that. You're saying that, man, because you don't like the idea of human beings that come out of Africa on account of your races.
I would say that that's absolutely the case, Bud. And I think you have to get over your notion that Africa somehow means inferior. Africa is the mother continent. Africa is the birthplace of the family of man. Okay? And I think you just need to suck on it.
God, that's pretty hostile.
Why are you being so hostile, Doctor?
Because I'm sick of it. I'm sick of coming on this show and talking to that guy. I wish for once we could have a conversation that doesn't involve, Dickman, or references to my wife, or Stephen Hawking. There's another one.
And you got to get over Hawking, I'm telling you. You really...
Oh, easier said than done. When this guy is walking through here with more ass...
I've always respected you, Dr. Tarner, but the way you fixate on all the women that Dr. Hawking gets...
I agree. And, you know, your language is...
I apologize.
You're going to say he comes parading through with all his ass.
I didn't say that, did I? You did.
No, but you were about to. All right, if we can move past that now and get on to this discussion. The human family coming from Africa. Tell me about it.
What do you mean, tell you about it? What?
Yeah, see, he doesn't even know.
No, this guy's got me so pissed off.
Tell me why it is that we did not develop spontaneously, as they say, all over the globe.
That was the original theory, as you thought, Phil, as you very rightly said. There was early fossil evidence that we could find that gave us indications of the upright hominid, that the hominid species was beginning, various hominid species were beginning movements, were beginning an evolution toward an upright gait, upright stance, the use of hands, and so on. However, the overwhelming evidence shows that most of the evolution, in fact, all of the evolution of the hominid in the variety of species that we have learned of, took place in Africa. And it shows the mitochondrial DNA trails that emanate from Eastern Africa up through the Middle East, Southern Asia, as well as Central Asia, as well as West to Europe. Now, couple that with the fact that we know that the migration of the human species took place along the southern rim of the Asian continent, winding up in Australia as well as some of the southern Pacific islands, the characteristic African features of the peoples of those regions, as opposed to the more Asian and Polynesian the further north you get, indicate that the African species that did emanate, I forget, I'm so tired. God, I...
Are you all right, Doctor?
Yeah, what's up?
I want to keep talking as much as I can, because the longer I talk, the less Dickman has a chance to butt in and start asking about Hawking.
All right, well, now that you're done, I want to know about Dr. Stephen Hawking and make...
All right, bud, just no, don't do it.
Why not?
I said don't do it.
Well, he pisses me off.
All right, I'm going to let you go, Doc, okay? That was very good duty. That was very, very intelligent, and you did as much as you could in the time allowed... And I don't think I should trouble you any longer with these idiotic questions.
Well, it's not you, Phil. It's just this ass.
Your ass?
Oh, I hate him.
Okay, Dr. Ron Tarner, so now do you get it? No, of course you don't.
No.
Yeah, I didn't think you would. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
I swear to God, what an ass.
Folks, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you to Dr. Ron Tarner for that. So there is a thing called the Genealogy Project that I promise you I'm going to get involved in here before too long, because Dan and I were just talking about it. And what it is you submit your DNA. It could be, I don't know what it is, saliva.
What if it's something else?
Oh, why does everything have to be filthy with you?
I'm just...
Bud, will you butt out?
What if it had to be something else?
Well, what if they tell you to take a cup into a bathroom?
Then I guess that's what I'm going to do, okay?
You wouldn't, would you?
If that's what they got to have, I mean...
Yeah, what are you going to do?
What is wrong with this world? Everything has to be from, oh, would you take this cup in the bathroom so we can see if you've been drinking?
Well, I think that would be urine.
No, it might be the other thing.
Bud, shut up, because now it's moved past whether I'm going to beat you up. Now it's just a matter, will you die? You see what I'm saying? So that's how bugged you're getting me, man. So now it's not, am I going to beat you up? It's, will I kill you or not?
So it's moved, it's gotten that bad, huh?
Yes, exactly. That's how bad it's gotten, yeah. You keep on talking. Now it won't be just, will I pound you into submission? Now, does your life end? See? So I'm trying to tell you, bud.
Bud, you gotta just do, don't piss him off.
Yeah, but you kill me, then you'll go to prison.
Yes, yes, and at this point, I don't care. You understand? I don't care. Do you understand? You've pushed me to the point where I don't care. I'm a man that doesn't care. I've got nothing to lose now.
You don't care if you go to prison.
Would you shut up, bud?
Shut up. All right, folks. God. Pat Boone. And we mentioned this at the beginning of the show, and it seems kind of whack. Let's find out what he said. Pat Boone is, well, he's kind of a whack guy, and he's got a big grin on his kisser as he was talking there to Neil Cavuto, but he... According to the story here on Fox News, the Pat Boone probably won't be playing any White House functions in the near future. The aging singer went on Fox Business News on Wednesday to give his thoughts on the president's efforts to reduce the deficit and sequestration. Pat Boone's expert analysis, Barack Obama is a Marxist determined to destroy the nation's economic progress. He's following the playbook, which is Saul Alinsky. Oh, God, Boone. I'm telling you, man. You people, you talk about monkey see, monkey do. Here he is with this Saul Alinsky. If there's not one guy in this country that cannot count himself among the intellectual elite now because he heard somebody talk about Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals and it looks like Obama and this and that and something else. This is the guy that trained him to be a community organizer, a Marxist, a socialist, a progressive who wrote the rules for doing what Mr. Obama's doing. So in other words, a progressive, a socialist, a Marxist, that's like saying a conservative, a fascist, a Nazi.
What are you talking about?
You heard what I'm talking about. If that's the kind of simple-minded stuff, well, in any event.
You're getting very political now. Let Mr. Boone speak for himself.
Yeah, talk about Mr. Boone.
Yeah, Boone, that's racist. You're not saying anything about that.
What do you mean Boone's racist?
That, yeah.
It sort of is, yeah.
Well, what are you talking about? That's the guy's last name, you know.
Well, why does he have that? Well, who gave him that last name?
Yeah, because everybody knows it. Well,
I'll say it. Everyone said, every now and again, you hear people use the word Boone.
For who? For black people?
Yeah.
Well, Boone's name is Boone. I mean, that's, what about Daniel Boone?
Well...
You know, if the shoe fits, wear it. Daniel Boone, yes, was a great American, but he was a Southerner. He had on a coonskin hat, and he was... I'll bet you, Daniel Boone, I bet you there wasn't a chaw of tobacco he didn't see that he didn't want to suck on.
You gotta watch what you're saying about Daniel Boone.
Him and Davy Crockett. There, hey.
All right, watch it. I don't know about Davy Crockett. I don't know about Daniel Boone. I think all of you are flipped out if you think that Daniel Boone, Pat Boone, or anybody with the name Boone gave themselves that name because it's racist. Cavuto gave him a chance to walk back the statement saying he thinks Obama is failing on the economy, but not because he was a socialist. But Pat Boone stuck to his guns. I think he's a brilliant guy, and I think he knows what he's doing, and he's doing it by design because he has a plan. He thinks it's good for America, virtually socialist nation in which nobody gets rich, government is in charge of everything. No, that's not what you said. He said he's doing it on purpose. He's destroying America on purpose, Boone. Now, if Boone meant real dumb guy, you might be onto something. But then I wouldn't want to attribute that to Daniel Boone.
You don't know if Daniel Boone's an idiot.
I don't know if Daniel Boone was an idiot.
Well, we don't know if Daniel Boone classically was an idiot. Daniel Boone was a brave man. Daniel Boone blazed trails, and Daniel Boone left his mark on the history of this country. There's no denying it. There's no denying it. But was he a simple-minded idiot?
Well, I don't know how you say that.
Well, what I'm saying is this.
Yeah, explain, please.
Daniel Boone was able to carve out trails and carve out whatever he carved out. I don't know what he did, but he carved out all kinds of things, right?
Well, Daniel Boone was responsible in part for, I think, the Cumberland Road to some extent. That is the blazing of trails from the populated northeastern part of the country down through the Appalachians, down into what was then called the West, you know, Kentucky, Indiana, and so forth.
All right. How much does that take in the way of brain power? I say not that much. I say it takes guts. It takes determination. I don't know that I wouldn't want to be with a man like Daniel Boone, a real simple-minded, and I say this with the greatest of respect, a simple-minded Claude, but a man that could go up against a bear or a tiger.
You're talking about Daniel Boone. That is, it's very bad. It's very anti-American.
Plus, I don't know how many tigers, you know.
Oh, really? Have you ever heard of a mountain lion? Thank you.
That's called a mountain lion.
Well,
yeah, it's not a tiger. Just no mountain tiger.
Why don't you close your trap, bud, before I shove my whole fist in it and leave it there until you choke to death?
God.
Bud, you are blathering a lot lately, man. I'm thinking of having you go to the doctor and find out if you haven't got some lesion that's causing you to just babble on.
Lesion?
What do you mean by that?
Is that like the Roman lesion?
Yeah, the Roman lesion. Don't put your high heel back on, Margaret.
Oh, God, I want to do it bad.
All right, so what we have here, then, is Pat Boone talking about... Why are we on Daniel Boone?
On account of he's a racist.
He's not a racist. Just because his last name's Boone.
No, we were talking about whether Daniel Boone was a blithering idiot, and I say it's possible. Daniel Boone was a brave man. And I think if you wanted to rewrite the song, Daniel Boone was a brave man, he was a mighty brave man. But something about his body was a blithering imbecile, something that gives us a sense of the man. That's what I want. More than anything else, I want a sense of the man as a drooling moron.
Boy, that doesn't add up.
Yeah, that's blowing me away, man. You're talking about Daniel Boone. That's a great American name.
Did I say it wasn't?
Well, you're saying Daniel Boone was a brave man and a great man, but a drooling moron. Now, how can you possibly put those two together?
Well, like you said, man, you don't have to have... You can discover all the stuff he discovered and still drool.
You're saying it a drooler. Yeah.
I ain't buying it, man. I'm not buying it.
Well, okay, man. Well, it was an idea, man. You know, man.
Sorry, Margaret, that I talk the way I do.
Oh, no, it's all right, man.
God. Well, you know, I mean, you're the one that's coming up here with this stuff about Boone was a drooler and Daniel Boone was an idiot.
Well, what do you think Pat Boone is?
Pat Boone is a moron. There's no question in my mind. I don't think Pat Boone's a moron. I think that Pat Boone is a guy who's just set in his ways. He's just one of those old guys that just... And he's got some goofy idea because he's watched too much Fox TV that Obama is a socialist that wants to completely wreck America. I don't know what these guys are talking about half the time. Sometimes they say that Obama's doing it on purpose. Sometimes they say it's just because he's an idiot. And Ted Nugent, you know, they mentioned this guy. Nugent, you know, I didn't like his music. I am very proud to say I didn't like his music. And when this clown opens his yap like he did with that made the Secret Service blanch, and then he said, hey, look, let me just explain things, okay? These people, they have no idea the damage that they do. The socialist claim isn't even the most radical thing that Pat Boone has said about Barack Obama, though. Channeling all of the Tea Party rage in email forwards from 2008, Boone wrote a column in 2009 for, guess what, World Net Daily, claiming that Obama is a Kenyan Muslim. Now, World Net Daily has been thoroughly, thoroughly discredited as a right-wing propaganda rag. I mean, it's not even a journalistic effort. It's a right-wing propaganda windshield flyer. It's a step up from the recycler. As a matter of fact, it's a step down from the recycler because the recycler has some pretty good deals in it. But the World Net Daily ain't got nothing. There's nothing there, man. It's like Wonder Bread, you know. And here Pat Boone's writing a column for them. That's fantastic. Is World Net Daily still in business?
I think it's in business. In business, sir. I think it still is in business, and it's still in business because of the right-wing radical, right-winger fascist, just the right-wing
Yeah, there's a lot of right-wingers. There's a lot of, but you know what the right-wingers did? And I say this with all due respect, but the right-wingers have destroyed talk radio is dead in America for the most part because of right-wing radio, because the programmers are too stupid, the general managers are too stupid, the syndicators are too stupid. All they could do was shove that right-wing radio down the throats of radio stations, and the radio stations gladly opened their gullets for it, and the advertisers got so sick and tired of being boycotted and being protested. And, you know, it was like a constant, steady, mechanical drone of right-wing, Obama, until finally you wanted to just puke it out of your nose. And now it's done. It's over. It's dead. And what's left is sports radio, man. Thank you. Hey, nice going, guys. Man, I never thought that they would be so stupid as to keep pounding that freaking nail, man, till they destroyed the format. I thought somewhere along the lines you guys would wake up and say, well, wait, we can't keep doing this. Why do we actually, you know, invest in some entertainment? No, you guys, you didn't want to do that. You wanted to keep on hammering it until you wrecked the car. It's like driving a Lamborghini, even though you know the oil is low, you know you're low on fuel, you know that the chassis is going, but you keep on driving it. Until the car is wrecked, and then you wonder why. You wonder why you're standing at the side of the road with the ass hanging out of your pants. All right, we'll be right back here. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Final thoughts coming up.
Truth.
Boy, Chelsea Clinton's turning
bitch.
Into a beautiful chick, man.
The Phil good. Hendry Show.
Yeah, I'll take you out, man. Hey, Chelsea Clinton's a piece.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, everyone. This is Margaret Gray, and I'm going to sing now for you Love Letters in the Sand in the style of Pat Boone. But I am, excuse me, turn it down, bud.
I know what you're doing.
I'm going to do it in my way, adding the Margaret touch. I hope you like it. On a day like today, we pass the time away. Writing love letters in the sand. How you laughed, ha ha, when I cried. Each time I saw the tide take our love letters from. I'm doing, Phil?
Yeah, you're wrecking the song.
You turn it down. Turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off. You. What did you say?
I said you're wrecking the song.
Oh, I'm wrecking the song. And how am I wrecking the song?
Don't go on it.
I'm not asking you. You. How am I wrecking the song, Phil?
Margaret, you're flatting. You're. Don't say it, bud.
You're the one that said it.
Just shut up. You're flatting. You're doing too much with one note. It blows.
Well, you got a pair on you. Where did you grow the pair big enough to say the things that you're saying to me that I was flatting? And I'm going to say to your audience right now, you were looking at my chest when you said that.
Hey, Margaret.
Good night.
No, hey, well, see the gutlessness?
No, you're the one.
Don't you dare leave the I was looking at her chest.
You said flatting.
I said flatting, and I wasn't talking about her chest. I'm talking about the crap can. Now what are you doing?
I'm going to do it good. Go ahead, hit it, bud. I said to hit it. Hit it or you're going to die.
Hey, don't watch, you know.
Don't watch. I'm going to do it good, and you'll see. I'm not going to flat anything. Oh, no, forget it.
Where are you going?
You sing it.
Go ahead, Mr. Henry.
I'm not singing that jackass song.
Give it a try.
Write a love letter in the sand.
Yeah.
Here, I'll recite it. In the sand.
Okay.
Verse 2. How you laughed when I cried, and a time in another thing I saw. Get out of here, will you? That stinks too. Turn it off. Turn it off before I go nuts. Turn it off. Thank God.
Boy, you guys really cut that one in ass.
Well, guess what? You're the one that wanted to sing it. Then go forget it. You got to learn how to take a little bit of criticism in this world, Margaret, huh? Just a little itsy teeny weeny bit. God knows I've learned.
Oh, you're a big baby.
Maybe I am, but you know what? If you're going to sit here and sing a song like warbling through it the way you did, God, that was horrific. And by the way, who wants to hear this crap anyway? I don't listen to Pat Boone's music. And I have nothing against Pat Boone. He's a fine man. I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm sure that he's a good father. I'm sure that, you know, well, I'm not sure, but a lot of people that love him, a lot of people respect him. I happen to think Pat Boone's okay. I met his daughter. Did I ever tell you that?
No, man.
Yeah, what happened, man? Did you get her naked and everything?
Be quiet. Did I get her naked? No, I didn't.
Wait a minute. What is this about his daughter?
Nothing. I met Debbie Boone at a fundraiser. I met her at a function for our charity a number of years ago, and she's a very nice lady. I liked her a lot.
Well, so you were hitting on her?
No, I was married at the time. I said I liked her, you know, and Maria did. My wife liked her. And she said to me, if you want to know the story without you running your big fat yap, she said she was driving one night listening to our show, and she heard her father on the air.
Pat Boone called your show? Boy, this is rich.
No, I swear to God. Swear to God.
But he do.
I don't even remember the call. I said, you're kidding. She said, no. She said, I was driving. I was listening to your show, and I heard my dad. And when I got home, she said, I called my father. Said, Dad, was that you on the Phil Henry show? And he said, yeah.
So he called up. He's all talking to like, wonder if he's talking to Margaret.
Would you tell him not to do that?
Bud, don't do the hoo-hoo-hoo. Don't do it, man.
What? The hoo-hoo?
Yes, when you go hoo-hoo.
Now you're both doing it, and it's driving me ape.
Just don't do it.
I'm kidding. Ow!
Yeah, so anyway, Robert and Margaret, that's what happened. And so there you go. They were a nice family, nice people. Well, she was nice, and I'm sure that her dad's, I don't know. But I think there's some dumb stuff. Just don't say it, you know.
Well, Mr. Leonard, a lot of these people say, well, you all say, you talking, you're nothing but an entertainer too.
But look at, this is my job, see? This is my job. In other words, my job is to run my mouth 3 hours a day. That's my job. My job is to sit here and run my yap 3 hours a day. Pat Boone's job is what? It was a singer. He was a singer. Now, I know that entertainers will say, I have a right to an opinion. Yes, you do. Absolutely. When it comes time to taking an opinion and giving it some weight, I would suggest the following thing. You would give weight to social scientists, thinkers, philosophers, I think newspaper columnists. I think people that I would say that anybody that does a real study, you can lend a little credence if you want. You always have to check things out yourself. But I sure as hell wouldn't take just the opinion of a movie actor or a talk show host for that matter. Because you don't know. Some talk show hosts, they do their homework. Some are strictly there for laughs. Some are pretend like they're there for laughs, but they're there seriously. Some pretend like they're there seriously, but they're there for laughs. And you don't even know what it is you're listening to. So the better thing to do is to simply, you know, be as smart as you possibly can. And God, for God's sake, don't, because you hear some right-winger banging the name Saul Alinsky over and over again and a Marxist and communism. Good Lord, people, we got rid of communism in this world in 1990. In no way, shape, or form, in no way, shape, or form is it making any kind of a comeback anywhere. It's hanging on for dear life in North Korea. It doesn't even resemble itself in China any longer. It's gone in Eastern Europe, gone in Russia. The communist parties that for so long held such sway in countries like Italy and France and to some extent in England, the communist party here in America, in India, they're gone. They're dead. Dead. Nobody cares anymore. No one gives any weight at all to what the communist theory. It's history has discarded it. And to start bringing up and talking about it with Obama, by God, it's not even patriotic. Do you understand? And
you tell him, Mr. Henry. And another thing.
I'm done.
Thank God. And I'd just like to say this, folks. I'm Margaret Gray. Thank you for listening on a day like today.
Shut up. World-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Henry. And don't forget to join us online at philhenryshow.com, where you can get yourself a backstage pass and enjoy all of the marvelous things that we have to offer at philhenryshow.com. Become a member of the family. a backstage pass at PhilHenryShow.com. Until then, 10 and on the East Coast, 1 a.m. tomorrow morning. This is Phil Henry. Let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.